Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth," and it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. All of Genesis chapter 1. and briefly looking in the book of Psalms, Psalm 8, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the work of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. All of Psalm 8. Father, thank you once again for the wonder of your creation, and thank you for the beauty of creation all around us. And Lord, thank you for the beautiful and the powerful way that you introduce us not only to the book of Genesis through Genesis chapter 1, but you introduce your whole, all of the Word of God to us through Genesis chapter 1. And Lord, you introduce us to you through Genesis chapter 1 as well. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful wisdom, grace, power, glory, and anointing that fills this powerful chapter. And Lord, thank you for the fact that it all points everything back to you. Thank you for your word and how that it helps us, guides us, molds us, shapes us, and teaches us how to think correctly and think according to truth. Thank you for the gift of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for the story of Genesis. Thank you so much for inviting us into being stewards of your creation. Father, thank you so much for inviting us to being life bringers, to create more life and to bring more life and to create a better living environment in your creation. Father, thank you so much that we get to learn more about you and how you steward us, how you keep the world together. Thank you so much that we can pursue being more like you in that aspect too, Father. Father, today we just come to learn more about how you're calling us to live and to ask for grace and mercy for wherever we fail. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to continue to remind our listeners about our ongoing Ten Commandments project, and want to remind our listeners, one of the ongoing aspects of the project is if your child or grandchild or a young person that you know or maybe are possibly working with in a ministry capacity, once they memorize the Ten Commandments, all they have to do is recite them by memory to you. You can give us a call, give us their size and either their mailing address, or if you want us to send it to you so you can present it to them, just give us your mailing address and we'll send them a free Ten Commandments t-shirt. Remember, it is a discipleship project, and one of the goals is to plant the powerful Word of God in the hearts of our children and our young people. So you can be included in that part of the project if you're so interested. Our Ten Commandments Speech Challenge is coming up June the 1st through the 30th. And remember, again, we're inviting young people ages 7 to 17 to put together a speech on the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Basically, write the speech, record it on your phone or whatever recording device you may choose to use. Send it to us between June 1st and June 30th, and we'll receive that. And, of course, participants will receive a free T-shirt as well as a bookmark and an electronic resource to be able to get an item from our bookstore as well. So please do, if you have a young person that's interested in that. And remember also with the speech, if you want to help them with the speech, that's fine. Or if they need help with it, they can call us and we'll help them with the speech as well. But we like having young people to participate in this part of the project as well, because it's a wonderful discipleship tool as the young person does their Bible research, their topical research, and puts it together. Even when they didn't necessarily write their own speech, when God's word filters through their mind and their heart and their thoughts, it will bless them still. So we've enjoyed and been excited about the project as it's continued down over a period of a few years. And last year, I think we ended up with about 57 speeches from young people. So hopefully we'll get a even bigger number than that this year. But every speech has been a blessing, and it's an opportunity for our young folks to grow. So it's a way to plant, one more way to plant the powerful Word of God in the hearts of our children. So if you're interested in being involved in the project, please do get in touch with us. Keep in mind, my email is joseph@afr.net if you'd like for us to send you further information, or go to afa.net to find out more information about it as well. But we'll be glad to get that information to you. But please do invite your young people to be a part of this project, and they'll be a different person on the other side of their involvement. We are very honored and blessed to have with us once again Dr. William West. He's a medical doctor, and also he's the author of Sacred Science, Understanding Divine Creation. Dr. West, how are you today?
I am good, thank you. Pleasure to hear your voice.
Yes, sir. Great to have you once again. Can you hear me all right?
I hear you fine, yes.
Okay, then. All right. Great to have you once again, Dr. West. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a few moments to further introduce yourself, and then we're going to get a chance to once again invite you to share about the message and the mission behind your book, Sacred Science, Understanding Divine Creation. But if you'll take a few moments to reintroduce yourself to our listeners, please do.
Well, I will. I am a 76-year-old physician. I am a cancer specialist, and I live in Memphis, Tennessee. My life's work here was—it's now called the West Cancer Center, and we have over 750 employees in 11 locations, and we try to bring the very latest and most modern cancer care to Memphis. And I might say just this last week, we brought a brand new form of what's called immunotherapy to Memphis, and it's had a spectacular result. So we're making progress, and I'm really excited to see that as I advance in my old age.
All right.
But Memphis has been my home, and I love being here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, specifically as it relates to the message of you, again, the title of your book is Sacred Science, Understanding Divine Creation. Would you tell us about the book, the title of the book, and how the Lord led you to write the book as well?
Well, about 4 or 5 years ago, I began to hear about this rapidly rising group of young people who declared that their faith was none, N-O-N-E. And when you looked a little further into that, they claimed that they preferred science over Scripture. And I was curious as to what kind of science they might be talking about, what they were looking at. And so I took it as an opportunity to revisit what we know about how God created the universe. And I was able to identify 8, and I'm going to call them blueprints. They're really equations. God is an amazing mathematician. But these 8 blueprints, which are really works of art, they're just each one an object of superintelligence. They interacted, whether it's the very beginning, when, you know, E equals MC squared, when this amazing amount of light was delivered to the universe, and then it began to form matter, which is hard stuff, physical stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to give you an example of how the universe is physical, it's filled.
I'm going to have to jump in right here, Dr. West, and we can pick up right there on the other side of the break. Our phone guest today is Dr. William West. He's the author of the book Sacred Science, Understanding Divine Creation. We'll be right back.
Thank you. You speak from heaven, we call it thunder. You are amazing. You smile from heaven, we call it rainbow. You are amazing. And you look from heaven, we call it sunshine. That's amazing. And you made me in your likeness, super amazing.
The music of Dunson Oyekan with Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. William West. He's the author of Sacred Science, Understanding Divine Creation. And Dr. West, as we begin this segment, just before you go back to the point you left off with, would you pray for our listeners to really be wide open to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to them through this broadcast today?
I will. I pray that anyone listening to the voices on this radio broadcast realize we're here because of an amazing God, a creator beyond our ability to even begin to fully understand, who planned this universe from the very moment it began in light, and knew exactly what he wanted it to become, and knew exactly what he wanted it to be filled with. He wanted it to be physical. He wanted to have stars and planets, and most importantly, life. And he executed that intention. And what a blessing it is for all of us to be alive in this wonderful, wonderful universe. And we praise his name. And we praise the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, if you'll pick up with the point you started before the break there, please.
Yeah, you know, God wanted a physical universe. That means we're all kind of aware of our weight. We're full of the earth. We can get on a scale and it'll tell us just how much we weigh. Light has no mass. Light travels around the planet Earth 7 times a second. And God loved the light, but he wanted to have physical things. He wanted to have stars and planets and people and plants. And so he devised a mechanism to take these little tiny particles that have no mass and give them mass. So he filled the entire universe with this invisible ocean. If you wave your hand right now, you're waving your hand through what we call a Higgs ocean, because a physicist named Higgs discovered it. And as those that are going to become our atoms, that are going to make us, that are going to make our plants and our pets, pass through this ocean of Higgs bosons, they're encoded with mass. They're given physicality so that they can then join together and build trees and life forms. So God intended the physical universe, and he gave it what it needed. I actually outlined 8 blueprints delivered by God at the moment of creation. And that spiel of mass encoding particles is one of the really important blueprints that makes our universe what it is today. It's actually my favorite. And it was discovered by Peter Higgs, that's the name, looking at an equation. Mm-hmm. God is a mathematician, and in his domain, he has mathematical equations for everything he created. And Peter Higgs happened to look at this equation and say, you know, if this really existed, it would explain where God gave us mass. And I think it's one of the great stories in scientific history. And of course, my favorite question is, well, then where does that equation spend eternity?
Mm-hmm.
Which suggests to me that it's from a heavenly domain, mm-hmm. from a library established by God.
Mm. Well, Dr. West, let me ask you this question, and you've alluded to this actually more than once, I think, in your conversation thus far. You know, you have those persons, like you refer to the group of people that refer to themselves as nuns, that is N-O-S-E, people who feel like they have no religious affiliation per se, but say they rely on science rather than faith. Yet at the same time, something that is very powerful that, again, I think you alluded to a moment ago, real science always points you to God. Would you elaborate on that?
Now, you're right on. You're spot on. And that's really the irony of the situation. By leaving the scripture and moving to science, they think they've moved away from God. Well, they haven't, because science is an alternative and beautiful revelation of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at these eight blueprints that can be scientifically described, they're all super intelligent gifts. They're all works of art from the mind of God. So I call it the alternative revelation. We have the revelation in Scripture, some of the beautiful passages you read this morning, and then we have the revelation from science, and we see how God planned things. We see the equations he used. We see his space-time. We see how he lights up the stars. We see how he has the stars make the elements, the chemistry of life. So, we're surrounded by God, whether it's in the Bible or whether it's in our better understanding of science.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so powerful, the fact that you make this point so beautifully, both in your book and as you share too. You alluded to it in a number of ways as well, but you take a child that just sitting outdoors looking at nature, and they're just fascinated. And sometimes grown adults can learn a lot from children, because they can sit and maybe just look in the grass and look at bugs or all kinds and be fascinated in a way that all of us should be fascinated because they're observing
exactly
what wonderful, powerful, amazing things God did through everything they're looking at in a little picture of creation in that little yard, you know. Would you elaborate your thoughts on that as it relates to sometimes children as well as adults?
Well, I think you're getting at my favorite quote from Paul in Romans. You know, we can look about us and we're without excuse. We see the beautiful work of God in this. I'm right now looking out a window at a whole bunch of birds. My wife feeds a lot of birds right outside our breakfast window, and what a show they put on. They're so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And, everything we see in nature is just near miraculous.
Mm. You know, I think of this too. In the book of Psalms, the passage is specifically it's in Psalm 106, where it uses the phrase, it talks about those who go down to the deep, referring to the ocean. And God very specifically in Scripture, he points out the fact that he's speaking, of course, sailors, people that spend time on the ocean, they're always learning lessons about God in the ocean. And it's fascinating to really think on that, but the reality is that when people that live next to the sea, they may kind of get used to it. But people that just visit from time to time, it's a lesson in God in so many wonderful ways. I'm thinking of, in particular, there's a great theologian. He just happens to have my same name. He was Pastor Joseph Parker from England from years ago. But he was on a cruise once, and there was a man that wanted to talk to him, and he came around and looked at him, and he saw Pastor Joseph looking out on the ocean. He thought, well, I better not bother him. It looks like he's thinking and meditating on something. And he kept coming back, and he just kept finding him still just staring out of the ocean. And then finally the man said, sir, pastor, what are you looking at? And his response was, God, nothing but God, just looking at the ocean. Any reaction to that?
I can imagine a whole variety of different vistas that should bring God to our mind. I just mentioned my birds that I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. And yes, the ocean is so vast. And, you know, I was near the ocean just recently. I thought this is amazing to think I could enter the water here. And if I was powerful enough, I could swim all the way to England. And it's wonderful that we're interconnected in that way. And we can travel to different lands and see different people and hear their perspectives.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you this question. I'm sorry, go ahead and finish your point there. Excuse me.
No, I was just going to say, I'm a Methodist, you know, and Methodism came to America from England.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my personal religious background.
Right. Well, just as a medical doctor and a scientist as well, like, would you say, would you say from your perspective there's life in other, maybe in other planets in the universe? Is that something you've thought about much at all?
You know, I don't spend much time thinking about it. I'm kind of skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea. We have no idea where DNA came from. I mean, we all just assume that DNA is just a common part of our lives. But if you really look at the history of DNA, we have no idea where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was really proud of a statement by Bill Gates at Microsoft, you know, the great computer guru, is that we could not today design an information storage device to match DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, we take DNA for granted. You know, it's part of our lives. It orchestrates the development of the little fetus in mama's body. But what a wonder it is, and we really have no idea where it came from.
Mm.
It's just a gift of God in this beautiful nature.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, would you say this, Dr. West, too, that, like, for example, in the field of science that, like, often it's pretty prominent and it seems like it's an ongoing theme where people tend to think that scientists often don't believe in God yet. I remember when you were on with us before, you mentioned that you said 60% of scientists were believers. Would you elaborate on that and tell us why you think that to be the case, and why don't we hear from scientists more talking about their faith through science?
Well, there's a mantra in the field. Yes, 60% of scientists are believers. But the mantra is, don't give God a foot in the door. And I know that sounds very negative. But the point is, don't stop studying and investigating the science. It might be tempting to say, I think God did this and that's a satisfactory solution, but God wants us to explore even further. God wants us to understand his handiworks. He wants us to understand exactly how he made this universe physical, how he builds a star, how he built the chemistry of life. He encourages us, you know, to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And I think that's where the mind comes in, I think. And I'm sorry to say, I think science is not that well taught in our society. A lot of people like, man, when it gets to science, I'm not good at it. I'm not interested in it. When in reality, it's pretty straightforward and it's pretty powerful. And I wish more people had an opportunity to learn a little bit more about how God created the heavens and the earth.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I would just mention this, and if you would maybe just share your thoughts on this, because this is someone who I guess probably would be a kindred spirit to you, Dr. West. But Dr. George Washington Carver, great man, a great scientist, but also he was a tremendous man of prayer, and the history books don't capture the fact that he was such a man of prayer, but his norm was he'd get up early in the morning, go off into the woods and pray, and he would ask God questions about nature. And God would download so many different things. And so there was a point in time in which he asked God about the peanut. And, of course, we know from history that Dr. George Washington Carver developed over 300 products from the peanut. And yes, he was very intelligent man, but the beauty is he asked God, and God decided to answer his prayer. And so
that's great.
A beautiful example of just the point that you're drawing out. He dug into the science, and he wasn't afraid to, as a believer, he dug into it, but more than that, he listened to God, listened to him for wisdom, and then dug into it and drew out so much that today the world is benefiting tremendously from his prayer life and his scientific gifts. Would you share your thoughts on that further?
I just think that's wonderful. That's the power of a thoughtful scientist is to see what's come before and try to add to that base of knowledge. And it sounds like, I don't know his history as well as you do, but it sounds like he did a wonderful job of pursuing from point A to point B to point C to really understand what the potential was of his study.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And again, if he'd written a book, his book probably would be a whole lot like your book, Sacred Science, I would guess, you know. So, but we'll pick up there on the other side. Our phone guest is Dr. William West. He's the author of Sacred Science, Understanding Divine Creation. We'll be right back. City on a Hill with God of Wonders. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. William West. He's the author of Sacred Science, Understanding Divine Creation. Dr. West, if someone listening wants to get a copy of the book, can you tell them how they can get it?
Yes, it's available at Amazon Books. It's being distributed to more and more bookstores, but probably the most effective way to buy it would be to online at Amazon. Look under William West and Sacred Science.
Okay.
And it is there.
All righty. Who would you say this book is mainly for? What is kind of a target audience of your book?
Yeah, you know, one of the biggest compliments I've received about the book is someone told me it would make a great homeschool book. Mm-hmm. In other words, you know, it starts, a third of it is about the universe, a third of it is about life, and a third of it is about mind, near-death experiences, the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it really would make an excellent homeschool book, and I've tried to write it in such a way that I hope it's approachable and fairly easy to understand. So I encourage would-be parents, if they have a child that's interested in science, I think it's a great way to introduce them to the great three sections, including life, including you know, there is a theory of evolution, but it just bears no resemblance to Darwin. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different system whereby God ordained the unfolding of life mm-hmm. from a library in a higher dimension. And I think that's the way it happened. So I encourage parents to consider it as a homeschool book for their kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess really in reality, it would be wise if probably lots of pastors, spiritual leaders, and seminarians would read it as well in it. Because, you know, something that's fascinating is that, you know, as I read Genesis chapter 1, obviously it's a powerful account from the Lord himself of the story of creation. But it's a very scientific chapter. But
yes.
You time and time again in Scripture, you find where some very powerful passages that seem extremely scientific are brought up again. Just like, for example, when you read through the latter part of the book of Job, lots of science in the book of Job. When you read through critical passages in the book of Psalms, again, lots of science where it talks about different aspects of creation. And, of course, it is in the book of Job where God talks about the poor parent an ostrich is. But that's the way he made that particular species. And so there's a lot of science in Scripture. But again, to your point that you mentioned a number of times, it always points back to God, his wisdom, his power, his omniscience. Just he's so mighty in so many ways. It all of it points to the greatness of God. Would you share further thoughts on that?
No, I think that's absolutely well put. I call science the alternative revelation of God. Mm-hmm. We have this scriptural revelation, which we all love, and then we have the scientific revelation, and they complement each other. It's two separate ways to get to know the reality of God and his majesty and the incredible beauty of his works. And it was a real wonderful experience to write Sacred Science because it gave me a chance to really try to understand the science, try to explain it in ways that would make sense, try to put in illustrations, try to put in examples. And I hope I have. I hope that people read it. They will find it accessible. They will understand the science better. They'll understand how this universe was made. They'll understand it again. We don't know where DNA came from, but they'll see the codes of DNA, mm-hmm. And then they'll understand as best we can the connection between consciousness and our brain. And that's very poorly understood, actually. But that's still the great frontier mm-hmm. is our consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what would you say are some of the limits of science?
Well, I just mentioned the fact that we have no idea where DNA came from.
Mm-hmm.
That's one real good example. I mean, we talk about it all the time. You would think we really, really, we knew where it came from. Well, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
So science needs to be conducted with humility
mm-hmm.
because we don't know it all.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing about a new scientific fact is it has to be able to be proven, and even better if it can be falsified, in other words, proven wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it can be proven wrong, if it's vulnerable, but it is not proven wrong, then it's excellent science.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way the process works.
Mm-hmm.
As you make an hypothesis, you set it up for testing. Testing confirms that hypothesis, there's still a chance someone's going to say, no, I think you're wrong. I think it happened another way. And that's the way science works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you, Lord, for, again, just the wisdom and the grace you've given us and just how that science in so many ways helps us better understand who you are, your greatness, your power, your glory. More and more help us as leaders in the church and as parents and as persons that work with young people. Help us to be wise enough to use it in such a way that we honor you and glorify you and help people realize, again, you have all the answers, even when we don't, in so many, many ways. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of science. We thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Dr. West, can you tell me, have you, so far, like, for example, between maybe interviews and interactions with people once the book has come out, have you had people that have tried to sort of attack you and come against you and to try to disprove kind of some of the key points behind your, the message of your book?
I really have not. It's been a positive discussion with a whole wide variety of people. And I think there's a general awareness that this universe is just so special. It's so designed. This Earth, my goodness. What, you know, there's two books written about Earth. One is The Privileged Planet, and the second book is Rare Earth. I don't believe there's many Earths out there in the universe. Mm-hmm. And we happen to be blessed to live on this beautiful, beautiful planet. And it supports so many different forms of life that, you know, we're just a blessed people. To know God, to be on His part of His creation, and to have the privilege of living on this beautiful, beautiful planet.
Right. Well, you know, I think of this too, and I want to invite, if you wish to comment on this point, I invite you to. But when I've heard, it's been rare, but when I hear someone talk about the science behind miracles, that's a fascinating topic to think about, isn't it? Because again, we serve a God that's created a wonderful world, but a miracle is one of those things that's, well, you call it signs and wonders. Why do we wonder at it? Because it seems to defy what we know with our finite minds. But obviously, miracles are from God, the creator of all things. So obviously, there's a science behind it, even if we don't understand it. But
that's
it's,
right.
It's fascinating to pursue, to understand it as best we can, you know. So, but
yes,
again, it's so important to understand that, like, real science actually cannot contradict God because it's simply an explanation of what God has done. And so for that reason, it's just helpful for us to understand that if something is, as you just alluded to, if it's real science, again, it's not going to contradict in any capacity what God has done. It's simply trying to further help your mind kind of wrap itself around so you better understand wonderful things that God has done. And so,
well put.
Well, our time is just about gone. Any final word of encouragement about why it's so helpful to read a book like this for a believer?
I believe it's important for the believer who loves God to have a little better understanding of just how He made this universe, how He utilized His unbelievable intelligence and His mathematical ability to shape this earth to be what He wanted it to be. And He wanted it to be a paradise for us. Then the amazing thing, He shared His image. He allowed us to be created in His image, which means that we can contemplate eternity. We can contemplate our own death, actually, is a blessing. Mm-hmm. We have meaning. We have purpose. What better gift can you give someone than meaning in their lives and purpose in their lives?
That's
and
right.
The promise of a destination. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a promise of yet another world to come, and I'm a huge believer in that. I miss my mother. I want to see her again.
Right.
And you know, I believe the God that created this earth has a heaven waiting for us that must just be unimaginable.
Amen.
And actually, as I'm aging, I'm getting excited about the possibility of seeing that pretty soon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much again, Dr. West, for being with us. And once again, we're encouraging every single listener to prayerfully consider getting a copy of the book, Sacred Science. And as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior. So much of what we've talked about on the broadcast today, again, it's pointing again to God, our Heavenly Father, and to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you never invited Christ into your life, today is a good day, a great day to make that step. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, simply pray this prayer with us and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you today? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent. And I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you every day. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to live what I learn daily. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. We'd like to be sure and connect with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And of course, if you're wanting more information about the Ten Commandments Project, please get in touch with us. We're hoping you'll prayerfully consider getting your children, your grandchildren, or other young people you may know involved. It's a great experience, and they will learn and grow through it. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.